sure we really have to see.
So I'm looking at a lot of different things that seem to be coming together. A lot of different
pieces of the puzzle.
Yes, And the quote today was really a very key thing, and it was something like, we must let the play happen to one. One must let the play happen to one. To sense rather than know, to gather rather than have an immediate understanding, things like that. Mm-hmm. And what I'm seeing is there is such a tight-knit identity, there often is on that knowing, you know, that kind of springing into action. And I guess one of the ways that it's dropped in for me is that being creative is very different than making things up.
Yeah, well, there are a couple of things there, right? So, knowing and springing into action have been put together. And then creative would be placed with making things up.
That making things up, really, that's what's going on. But it gets called, like that's a creative idea or something, better idea. And boy, just seeing that, I don't know, I keep getting this sense of it's like more subtle than, we think splitting an atom is hard, you know, getting in between that identity and what's real.
Finding that space to be able to see the components of that identity.
Exactly.
Right? That it's not just a thing, it's made up of all of these unexamined beliefs and assumptions that when they're all put together, they make this thing that we don't need to look at anymore because we just don't.
I watched in the very last thing.
There's no reason to look at it. I mean, how do we go through life in this mess? Well, because we think we know.
Oh, yeah.
And so we don't even realize there's anything to explore. Because there isn't anything there. It's just, I just know it. I mean, it's just true.
It's just me. Yeah. It's just who we are. You know, it's just how it is.
It's just how it is.
Yeah.
And it's not even an it.
Exactly.
Right? It's just.
Exactly.
There's nothing there.
Yes. And yet, so I think what you're saying is, I mean, when someone points out what's going on or has the backdrop of practice to see these things, it's so obvious.
Yes.
But even then, the components aren't obvious. It's just, what is this thing? And then the components start getting revealed again, you know.
Yeah, so first, you have to realize that there's something to look at.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something askew here.
And that's not easy to do.
Right.
Because all of conditioning is devoted to keeping us from ever questioning these things.
Yeah. Yeah, I was recording and I used that atom. It's like, boy, and we think splitting an atom is hard. Because there's probably more people on the planet that know how to split an atom than know how to do this. You know?
Very likely.
I mean, it feels like it's so subtle and so fine and so, you know.
And yet, when it's in somebody else, it's not subtle at all. Yeah. And you just wonder,
So true. Yeah.
So that's kind of the interesting question, isn't it? How do we keep from, you know, when I left here, you had that cushion. Mm.
I did it again. That's kind of.
Because when I left here the last time, that cushion was missing. And I thought, oh, well, they'll put it back.
It was.
And now it's missing again. And it looked for all the world like there was no gap in those two events. Right. So, yes. Yes, we're moving forward.
Obvious in other people.
It's so obvious. And so that's probably the most interesting piece of it. How does that happen? How does something that is so nose on your face obvious with somebody else be a complete mystery to us?
Yeah.
And you know, it's not like we haven't had some information about it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And in fact, in a situation like this, we can see other people getting a lot of information about something, and they still can't see it. And you kind of just want to write a note and say, here's the cold, hard truth. But you know what? They still get it. Because that's how it goes. What we're really doing is learning to see through what's keeping us from being able to see. Uh-huh. So even seeing something, if we don't know how we see it, we haven't learned anything about process.
Yes.
We've only learned something about content.
Yes. Because the process of seeing it is the fun of it. I mean, you know, in terms of being a human being, you know, I'm not saying it's always fun, but like that's sort of the deal.
My way of talking about it is almost everybody wants their karma. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, people can have information for year after year after year after year that what you're doing is not working. Mm-hmm. But I don't care. That's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. It's those
That's
externals.
The important thing.
It's the externals that are that are the
blame. Well, it's just, this is what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I don't want to not do what I'm doing.
Yeah, okay, oh, yeah.
Now, I might say I want it to work,
yeah.
But actually, I just want to do what I'm doing. Yeah. I just want to be me. I'd rather be me.
I gotta be me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so until being me is not something that we're interested in, then we're not going to actually do anything other than identifying with me up against everything out there that is against me. Mm-hmm. So we got to get on the side of what is against me, mm-hmm. which I would say is life. Mm-hmm. If we want to put it under, you know, one big heading, mm-hmm. that's what's against me.
Yeah.
Because me is what's keeping us from being able to be happily present with, in sync with, flowing along with life.
Yeah. Gosh, there's so many things that are dropping in as you're saying that. One of which is to kind of underscore that point of how invested the me is how many years have I heard this quote, you know, of transform your life, you know, so many times. And yet it's, you know,
it makes you wonder, doesn't it? I mean, looking back over what did I think it meant?
Exactly.
Before I got to this point of really questioning what it means, what did I think it meant?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or what I suspect happened was I went to that, oh, I know. I know that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that.
Uh-huh.
I get it. Yeah, you have to play happen to one. Yeah,
sure.
I'm going to do that.
Sure. Yeah, that's what I do.
I'm sure we should have more people with let's play.
I am. Yeah, I wish everybody get it the way I do. Yeah.
You know, so that's...
Ooh, it's ugly, isn't it?
I mean, you know, truth be told, that's really probably what happened.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's what happens with us.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and one other thing that keeps dropping in that I was just looking at last night, actually, was something from the perennial philosophy about, I think it's in the part on spiritual exercises, where he talks about the way we can let that distraction kind of be in the foreground, and then without any effort, keep our eye on God or, you know, whatever, and how that practice, because when the moment we interact or react to the distraction, we're sunk, yeah. But it was such a neat kind of exercise that we can do, like literally
keeping attention on awareness.
Exactly, and expanding awareness beyond what's really looking at process over time. It's all the ways we talk about it. And I saw kind of a fun image of it, and it's with Sadie. So Sadie is the master at that. I could just go and channel Sadie, because when Jen is in the kitchen and Sadie is outside and she's looking, it's like her whole being is focused on that person. She can come out, yeah, what is she doing? And you can come up to Sadie and she'll let you interact, but she never loses the bigger picture of what she's all about, you know? And it is such a, for me, it inspires me all the time whenever I see that focus. Mm-hmm. And
single-pointed.
Single-pointed. Mm-hmm. And to see, to get it, that's really what we're about. And getting that's what we're about seems to help in that other process we were talking about of seeing what's been pointed out and all of the components and all of that, mm-hmm. somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was looking at I think it's the way it goes, rather than worrying about the moat in your neighbor's eye, work on removing the walk from yours, which kind of puts it in perspective, right? And that's, mm-hmm. To me, that's what that's pointing at, is that we get so focused on mm-hmm. how other people are doing it or not doing it, mm-hmm. that we completely lose sight of. And no matter how many times we talk about projection, we still lose sight of the fact that, wait a minute, I'm the one having this experience.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as you said, that's even assuming we care about projection. You know, that we even want to be.
Oh, right. I'm only talking about the very small group of people who are interested in that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cameron?
Well, all of that. I can identify with the people who go on years and years and years hearing these things and doing.
It's all of us.
Yeah.
It's all of us.
Yeah. And I had a really poignant example of that in the retreat that we just had in the group, where you made one comment that just went right to it. You said, blah, 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 blah. You have to choose it. And it was in reference, somebody had shared about feeling real spiritual as a child, just kind of naturally, authentically spiritual and reverent and so forth. And then getting conditioned out of it, and then practicing and realizing that she was wanting to get back to the innocent reverence and spirituality that was initially there. And you said things, and then you said, yeah, and then blah, 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 but then later you have to choose it. And I had, in that moment, I realized exactly that I have not chosen it. I've been doing a lot of things to be in the environment of it and be near it.
Very close to it.
Very close to it. And thinking that I was choosing it by being close to it. Mm-hmm. But I felt in my heart when you said that, I felt what that was to choose it, and that's what has been missing. And what I felt was that that to choose it, the remnants of self-hate have to have been dissolved, because there's that the self-hate is in there muddying up everything and making a person feel like they can't choose it. They're not worthy of choosing it.
Well, and I think what you saw is that we can only choose one or the other.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
We can't want this and choose that.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, so.
And which is significant, isn't it?
Very.
Because self-hate isn't there unless we choose it.
Uh-huh. Pardon?
Self-hate can't be there unless we choose it.
Oh yeah, that too. I guess maybe I yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. That's
yeah. So the one that sets people off, you know, if I'm suffering is because I'm choosing something over ending suffering. I'm not choosing it, Ivan. I don't. Yeah, you do.
yeah,
you are.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not an indictment, it's not a judgment, it's just a fact.
Yeah.
If you're giving attention to that, you're choosing it.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So that feels really significant, doesn't it?
It does feel.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, you know, people think, well, as soon as I'm pure, and as soon as I'm, you know, met all the standards, then I'll be worthy and I'll choose the divine. And hopefully I'll die before I have to. It has to come to that.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Choosing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a second by second by second.
Second by second. It's not like, I've chosen and now I'm cool. I'm good.
Right. Now I can get back to my life.
I have to be choosing. It's every second. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
because you know, with you know, all of those ideas that people have about divinity being jealous and you know, all that sort of thing, you can see how that could happen, that people could start believing that, because it's like, do you want that more? Do you want that more? Would you rather have that? Would you rather have that? You'd have that. You'd have that. That. That?
It's kind of like the Buddha with Mara.
Mm-hmm. And we have to keep saying,
offering the women,
that's
offering
right.
the...
Not that. That? No, yeah. No, 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 no. Yeah. I mean, it's all nice. It's lovely. Thank you for providing
the
that.
The attention has to come back to...
And no, I choose this. Yeah. I choose this. Yeah. I choose this.
They can already feel the difference. Yeah. It was really big. It was just that one little sentence. You have to choose it. How many words is that? Four. And it was just like everything opened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when we're ready, right? It just.
Well, that's when you said all the years of doing something else wearing away what is in the way of being able to choose it. That resonated too. Yeah.
And again, only ego is going to make that kind of contest out of, well, look at this. I mean, mm-hmm. How long have you been doing this? How hard and how long do you think you're gonna, but it's as long as it takes.
As long as it takes, I mean, to even see that before you're gone seems a miracle.
Mm.
And so I can see a change in my behavior, and it's not the same kind of changes that I used to make where, okay, now I need to make a change of behavior because blah, 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 blah. It's just changing.
Yes.
So.
Well, it's changing because I want this more than that.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And so at that point, that's why all the self-hate, all the shoulds, all the, you know, the good intentions and resolutions and all that, I mean, they're fine. They're part of what we do, but they miss the point completely. Mm-hmm. Because when we want it, mm-hmm. then we want it. Just like we used to be with chocolate cake.
Yeah, there's the exercise that we've been in another retreat. To get up in the morning and drink a quart of water first thing in the morning. When I read that, I thought, oh, God, no way. I can't do that. And I just...
It does seem excessive somehow.
I just get up every morning and do it. Mm-hmm. And I can do it.
Uh-huh.
And it's actually pleasant.
Uh-huh.
And so there's been a number of other things like that, too, that... just like... Well,
why not?
Why be resistant? Yeah. This is what we're doing. Why not just do it?
Why not just do it? And why not, if we're going to assume anything, then why not assume that these people who are suggesting these kinds of things, number one, have a point.
They have experience.
Might know what they're talking about. Yeah. And probably aren't trying to kill you.
Yeah.
So give it a shot.
Yeah.
And then you find out you like it. It's pleasant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes the body happy. Gets ahead of the hydration for the day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which I've always been behind on that. So, yeah, that was just one example.
And you know, Cameron, I think that's such a corner to turn. Mm-hmm. Because, again, self-discipline has such a bad reputation,
mm-hmm.
because it's, for most people, it's such an ugly thing. Mm-hmm. But when we get the hang of doing things because we want to have the experience,
right.
Then self-discipline is not difficult at all.
Yeah, it doesn't. The word discipline has another meaning in conditioned land,
yeah.
And when you use it in this other land, it's something you're doing as a kindness to yourself. Mm-hmm. It's helping you to counter the resistance that it's trying to...
Yes, and it's just fun to do it as an experiment to see what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very fun. Scott?
I was just paying attention to what was going on for me in group, and because at first it was like, I don't have anything to talk about. I'm not doing any practice or something, some sort of story like that. And then it was like, oh, I'm going to tell Sherry I'm in the low point of the undulation.
Which, I will tell you, your body posture, it broadcasted loud and clear.
At the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to see if we had a Barco Lounger or something. Bring in here. Sprawling.
Yeah. Well, just when you were just saying, it's kind of like when you have the two experiences... Seems kind of obvious what you would choose.
Yes.
You know, and I think I noticed that it gets more obvious the more time I spend in that place of, why not? You know, like you were just talking about with the water. Mm-hmm. It feels good. We get to experiment and have these experiences, mm-hmm. to be alive, to live our lives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just becomes more clear, and it becomes more clear when you're kind of out of that place.
Yes. You recognize it quicker.
You recognize it quicker, yeah. So in that little space, it was like, I just heard something like, is that so? You know, I'm in the low point of the undulation. And then this image came in of every day, Pachi and I walk up to the meadow, and that's every day I do one of the two-handed recordings. And it was almost, the message I got was, well, what are you noticing with that? And it's like, doing great. You know, especially if you consider that last part of the second to last part of the two-handed, what comes out from the mentor. The mentor is always here, happy to help, pleasant, having a good time, encouraging, pointing out lots of helpful things, pointing out lots of beautiful things right in front of me, you know, and it's like, well, that's clearly me as well. So.
Yeah, and you know, when you say that, that could be a shortcut. You know, if you're not having a good time, we'll just ask the mentor to join you.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the mentor is always having a good time.
The mentor's always having a good time. No problems. Everything's... And just completely willing. Always available.
Yeah.
Like, like they're just there for me.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing, mm-hmm. actually. And then I was looking at the undulation, and it's like, well, that's like independent of me. Like, is that the pattern? Is that ego's energetic pattern, the way it sort of farms the human? You know, to grab the attention on ego, and ego is going like this, to get the energy up, and then to drain the energy off, and then to get the energy up, and drain the energy off. I mean, all of a sudden, I just got really clear, like, that's almost like it's a physical structure. It's something that's not, it's over there, it's near me, or around me, or it's over there, but it has nothing to do with me. Until the attention goes on there, and then I'm
that's right.
going up and down. But
until you buy it. Into the story.
Yeah.
Right? Because there has to be a story with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Always.
Yeah. And so as soon as we get involved with the story, then there I am, and that's real. Because mm-hmm. I'm identified with the story. And the story is of undulation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's... And that's what we were just talking about at the beginning. Like, this feels really familiar, you know, because mm-hmm. I've been doing it forever. Mm-hmm.
And when we catch on to that, so there you are, you know, you just walk down to the meadow, and you feel great, you know, beautiful day, happy, feel fabulous, and then you just watch how long it takes mm-hmm. for the conversation to start with what's going to start the downhill.
Yeah.
What's going to take that energy out?
Yeah.
And you get down to the bottom. Well, that's not a good time for, there's no energy there. So, well, now, why don't you do this? Or why don't you focus on that? Or you could this or that. Yeah. And you start feeling, yeah, I could. I don't have to do this. I've been practicing for a long time. I know how to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel great. It's fabulous. Yeah.
Gosh, that's actually...
Why did they look at you like that when you...
mm-hmm. I think that's what was being pointed out to me. It was kind of like, hey, you know, when we get on to do the two-handed recorder, it doesn't have to be like you're disidentifying each time from something kind of, ugh. You know, because I was seeing that. It's like, what is that? So then we're... And then, like, we do the two-handed in a couple hours, and there's another issue. Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on in between... We're great, here is some good guidance, we're right here, and now, you know, it's almost like that is the identity. Oh, I got another issue to talk about. Uh-huh. I don't really know what it is, just not feeling quite right.
Well, another issue to talk about, and then there are the people who fall into believing that if you don't have something wrong, you can't practice.
Yeah.
Which is really not a good idea.
Yeah, well, I mean, gosh, it just seems like such a thing we are conditioned to... You know, you'll get attention from somebody if you got a problem. Mm-hmm. But if you're doing fine, you know.
Right. Well, two things about that, right? You're doing fine. You're not going to get any attention from other people. And God, you know, is going to notice that you're doing well and give you a good slap across the
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh, yeah. So you get lots of rewards for having problems, right?
Yeah.
Struggling.
Yeah.
It's hard. Leave me alone.
Because you don't really belong if you, I mean, you're the, I guess you don't really understand. You just have it all good and easy, don't you? You know, but as soon as you start commiserating with people, oh, okay, good, you can come into our group.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. We're all
sound
together.
Gosh, it's just amazing to watch. That's all going on all of the time. Mm-hmm. And those two-handed recordings is really exposing that. Mm-hmm. You know, even if you ask me, yeah, I'm having a great life, and... That stuff's going on constantly. Mm-hmm. That, as you said, it's a chance to watch that the undulations happening multiple times a day.
And to prove to yourself, which you're already seeing, that it's not accidental. It's not external.
Yeah.
It's not that there's something out there making our life happen to us.
Yeah. Boy, living in a monastery is really helpful for that.
Yeah, how long can you blame it on them,
really? You really, it just doesn't go very
and then
far.
They leave and somebody else just...
That's actually been really fascinating to watch here with the folks I live with here how that happens.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, you're the good person, you're not the good person. And how it happens with my family, even though I don't talk to them very much.
Uh-huh.
Now my brother's my favorite, now my mom. And it's just like, and then all of a sudden my mom's great, my brother's like, I didn't even talk to them. How did that happen? It's just like, oh my
How do they do that?
How do they do that?
My whole life is in a conversation in the head.
Yeah.
Wow. We are just creating our own universes,
yes,
moment by moment.
Precisely.
Holy cow.
Now, although, again, what we begin to catch on to is our universe is being created for us.
Yeah, right when you paused there, that's where exactly where I went to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
I mean,
I'm actually not doing this. Mm-hmm. I'm going along with it.
I'm going along with it.
To an alarming degree, but
to
I'm,
an alarming
not,
degree.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, gosh. Yeah. Thank you.
Benny, I had this fun experience yesterday or the day before. Getting a box I was in revealed to me.
Oh,
it was wonderful. So I was reading this thing. It was about, you know, spending time really just being at peace in the face of things you're distressed about. So I went and spent some time doing that. I was getting really quiet and calm and peaceful and then I read the peace quote from yesterday. And it was about uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something like...
seeking out uncertainty, wasn't it?
It was about seeking uncertainty, and that uncertainty can be like play. Mm-hmm. And uncertainty is about curiosity and exploration and not knowing and seeing how things are. And it's about courage. And what was so fun was, that's peaceful too.
Uh-huh.
You know, I realized that when I was reading this thing about sort of getting to a peaceful place, where conditioning took me was, well, a peaceful place looks like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's serene, and nothing's going on, and you're very calm, and
mm-hmm.
and it was so much fun to get, a peaceful place can be any place, and it can be full of energy.
Uh-huh.
And the conditioning had taken hold of that definition to kind of suck it dry.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Boy, that was, and it was, it's, it was so, it reminds me of that movie, V, you know, where the person sticks the note through the hole.
Mm.
It feels like those things like peace quotes and Project Joy Life notes. Going along, getting caught in some little cell.
Uh-huh.
No, here comes the note through the hole. It's about curiosity and play and courage, and it just like the walls fell down.
Uh-huh.
It was so much fun.
I love it. So I don't know if we've had any of this conversation, but my latest passion is for the conscious compassionate action movement, and the reason for that was actually it started with the retreat, the precepts retreat, where I hear this from people, but I really heard it from people here, that in order to go with the precepts of not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself inside or others, and not to be angry, I can't know anything about the world.
Right?
Because if I have any information at all about what's going on in our country, I'm going to become a raving maniac. Right?
Join the raving maniac.
Yeah. And so what happens then is that increasingly people just say, so, you know, the only way I can stand it is not to know anything about what's going on. And that's exactly what you're pointing at. That's the definition of peace. So I'm peaceful, fine, and I'm a good person because I'm not angry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not publishing other people's faults. I'm certainly not extolling myself and slandering others because I'm not slandering them. I am extolling myself for not doing that. But I don't say it, so it doesn't count. And so what I saw that I'm currently insane and passionate about is redefining just exactly as you're saying. So I want to know what's going on in the world, and then I want to use that as an opening for bringing to the world what I want for the world.
Yeah.
I mean, it may not be everybody's idea of what the world needs, but it's mine. And doing that, offering that, brings me to that place of well-being, of feeling good, and I'm offering what I think is important.
It feels like right now being involved in some stuff in the world is like this incredibly cliff-edge adventure. And there are times when it's really easy to, speaking of undulations, to really sort of get into despair, but it feels like that's the place to be, to find out how to be that, how to be that different kind of presence in the world.
Yes.
And that just withdrawing from that, it doesn't challenge anything.
No, it doesn't challenge anything, and it doesn't help anything.
It doesn't help anything.
And the point that I just did a blog that I think is going up today, this evening or tomorrow, on that. And, you know, one of the points that I make is that none of my spiritual heroes suggested withdrawing from the world.
Mm-hmm.
Not one. The Buddha didn't. Jesus didn't. And then we could list just a whole ton of others who did not. It's how you are with the world that's important. And it, even this type of Buddhism, you know, is not that find a cave and wait it out. That's not the focus. The focus is to bring compassion, conscious awareness into every moment of life.
Yeah. You know, what's rising from you is I think about that story you told about, I forget, you did something and your teacher came storming up, purple-faced to you, and you were saying, if I can be peace in this moment. And my projection is, what you were saying was, if I can be totally present, totally here in this moment, not if I can...
Not freaking out.
Not getting out of here and calling it peace. Mm-hmm. It's a whole different kind of... Mm-hmm. It's like bringing all your energy to something and not just withholding it because it's just too scary to put it out there.
Right. Not taking it on, not needing to fight, not needing to resist, not needing to anything. Just here's an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
You're upset with me. I can listen to that.
Yeah.
That's good. I don't need to take that on. I don't think he was actually upset with me, but... Boy, he was a good actor.
Just one other thing about that. So there's a lot of people running around with T-shirts and stuff that say resist, and I find that so unhelpful. Mm-hmm. And there's a group that, right after the inauguration, they got together and said, so what might we do? And so every second Friday we meet on the corner at 4 and 49 in Angels Camp, and we have signs saying, this is what we're for. Mm-hmm. This is the world we want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so inspiring.
Mm-hmm. You know?
What people care about and what they want to have happen. And it feels so energized. And people always talk about it. I feel so energized. And I don't think resistance does that at all.
Oh, no. No. Being against is never uplifting.
Because for one thing, your point of reference is always the thing you're against.
That's right.
So it just lends all your energy to it.
It's yes, exactly. In fact, it's what we talk about here all the time with giving all your attention to conditioned mind. So, you know, that's why we don't report on what conditioned mind is talking to us about anymore, because everybody was just giving all of their energy to that.
Yeah.
So we want to get here. And so I'd like it to become a national movement. I think it'd be very exciting for that to happen and for people to do exactly that kind of, you know, to talk about. When we did the 150K for Africa, and people talked about the different things that they could do.
Right.
Just stuff that you go, that's brilliant. Who would ever? And I'm sure people are going to come up with that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, this needs to be done, or this group of people, or this would be something that you could support, or we're gathering like that. You know, we're gathering to do this. You want to come along? And to turn that energy, first of all, to have it for the people, because so many people that talk to me anyway are just so depressed. I was talking with somebody today who's not a part of what we do, but I was just telling her about this, and she said, "Oh my God, I've got to get that. Send it to me. I got to get it to a friend of mine." She said, "Since the election, she's gained so much weight, and she is so depressed that she practically lives on her couch."
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's not a good way to do things, whatever your politics are.
Yeah.
You know, that's just, yeah. So self-hate is just, you know, with that one.
And it's also, just one last thing, that it's also been a really fascinating time to figure out how to just wait. So there's another group we meet with once a month, and we just know we want to be together, and we want to be that different kind of presence, and we don't know what to do. So we decided we'll just keep meeting. Because we love each other, and we love being together, and it's very inspiring and encouraging. And we just figure if there's something for us to do, it will arise. Mm-hmm. And that feels like a really helpful and wise place to be, too. Mm-hmm. And that just arose.
Sounds very Quakerish.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
I don't know if Quakers have potlucks. We have a potluck. But it's that kind of, sometimes you just wait.
Yeah.
And that can actually be very empowering.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I keep thinking, as we're talking this evening, this afternoon I had this outrageously fun workshop at the DMV.
Oh.
Yeah. It was so absurd that it just felt like it had to be life.
Just the comedy routine. I want to laugh along.
Huge sense of humor. You know? And because the way that I keep thinking about it is, as people are talking about, well, first you talked about, this isn't fun, bring in the mentor,
uh-huh.
Right? And then that place of, like, just watching, one of the things I've been looking at is control. And control in the form of, like, no, it's going to be really good. Like, I can't, because this is going to line up, and then we're going to be able to take care of this, oh. this, and this. And
oh, that's sad, just even to think about it.
So,
no, this is going to be really good because nothing is good.
So it's just, you know, I get in there and, you know, it's everything's bureaucratic in the DMV. I mean, it's just, that's what it is, right?
Yeah, it's a bureaucracy.
It's a bureaucracy, right? So the paperwork to do one thing is a lot. I was doing five of the same thing. And so, and the reason I was there was for a name, right? And the name is Mom. And I'm not exaggerating. In those little boxes, I had to write it 25 times.
A center for the practice of Zen Buddhist meditation 25 times in those little boxes. Did you start putting letters on top of one another?
And what was so funny was just to watch that threshold start. Yeah. Right? Because it wasn't, I didn't know that at the outset. That unfolded. You know, it wasn't like, okay, you're going to need to write this 25 times, because there could have been like a little bit of a, all right, just surrender to it. But it was like, oh, and you know what else you're going to need to do this for? It was like, okay. And just to watch that, like, that reaching that point of, I will be done. I'm all yours. And literally, I get up there with all the stuff. Luckily, the woman hit was very sweet and patient as well. And she was like, oh. She goes, the name's so long. I have to delete the address from each file, so you need to fill out an address change for each one.
Oh, no.
I was like, okay. And meanwhile, sure. Before that, yeah, I was still in the like, oh, because this is great, because I'm going to drop off the such and such at the and the right on the way, because then that's going to be off the list. So she gave me those forms, and I was like, no, that's not happening. I'm not even going to get home in time for blah, 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 blah. So it was just that, I mean, that it really was that experience of doing it with a mentor. Just that sense of, I mean, what is the point of suffering through this?
Right. Well, were we talking about that on Project Joy this morning, I think? That idea that we're so conditioned with, that what's in here is reality.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And that what's out here is kind of a mistake.
Exactly.
It's not going.
I'm not going to get flat tires.
It's not the way it should be.
Right. I'm not going to get flat tires.
Yeah.
And
right.
In here, flat tires don't happen.
No. No, never.
But if we ever say that, it would be, I'm never going to get a flat tire. That's never going to happen to me. That would seem absurd.
Yes.
But,
well, and it'd be tempting the devil. Exactly. You'd have a flat tire the very next day.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, yeah. And sitting here, you know, we can say, oh, yeah, isn't that silly?
Oh, no.
But we don't believe it's silly.
Mm-hmm.
We deeply, deeply, deeply believe that this is.
Yeah.
And on top of the absurdity of that, I can speculate that none of you see what I see. I kind of suspect that, right? So how could I actually believe that this is reality when I'm very suspicious that there are 7 billion plus people who are seeing it differently?
Yes.
I mean, it's insane.
It's insane.
And yet we believe it.
Yes, that exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it's baffling. It's impressive.
Yeah.
How could we do that? And a lifetime of experience doesn't change it.
Yeah.
A lifetime of watching it happen with everybody all around us.
Yeah.
Even when you started talking, we could all go, oh, this is going to be good. You know it's not going to go the way you think it's going to go. Silly child.
Right.
And yet, there we go.
Yeah, that is amazing.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. And we'll have this conversation.
Right.
We'll leave here.
Exactly.
Believing. Yeah. That we know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
How it's going to go.
And that place that I've been looking at, the reason it was so funny and so absurd, of that, know the way it's going to go, and the way that it should and could go.
Yo!
You know?
Absolutely.
Just that, like, another stupid stuff. Like, for the second time in a couple of weeks, I took the last tissue from the box in the dining room.
Don't you hate that? And you
stuffed it back. Don't probably do need to blow your nose, right? But, I mean, that's really gotten to that place of, like, you know, never going past the wet towel, never going past, because there's so much experience of how much I receive in caring for it and how much I suffer in whatever else goes on with that. But that place of just watching the, oh, wow, okay. Break down the box, change the shoes, go out, take it to the recycling, go in the thing, get the other box, take the thing out, take that to the recycling. Those stupid tissues that never come out of the box.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? That was the clincher for me. That's what really mirrored it. Because I don't know if this is unique to an Enneatype 1, but you can't leave the thing there without having pulled up the first tissue for the person to be in. And you can't pull the first tissue out to be ready, at least of those 7th generation ones. So that means those first 5 tissues, either you have to leave them looking really ugly and completely like someone's not paying attention, you have to recycle brand new tissues, or you have to put them in your own bag to use them.
We've all been there, Jen.
Yeah. And that mirrored for me that place of, oh, this is that process. That it has to, I have to make it right. And I can't. There are no good options. And then it was like, they're all good options. You know, it's completely fine. We do not need to suffer.
If you were going to suffer over that, you might as well have just pulled the tissue out and kept walking.
Yeah, really.
If you're going to suffer over a box of Kleenex, might as well have...
You know, that's funny, because that probably would be a huge workshop for me. To see if I could pull all the last tissue and just walk away and never think about it again.
No. Don't even idealize it.
Can we talk a little bit more about that conscious, compassionate action thing?
Mm-hmm.
Because I haven't had access to any of the places where you've talked about it in length, just with what you said to Tom on the phone call. That's the last night, I think, on Tuesday night. That's all I've gotten of it. And
well, that's pretty much it. Tom and I pretty much covered it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, although, they're in the blog.
So the opening to be, there was something about, okay, you're all upset about something, that's the opportunity then to have...
Well, here's the question.
Okay.
What do you want for the world? If you had a wish for the world, what would it be?
Because I've been playing this game. It was presence. I want people to just practice presence, to really be there, here.
Okay. And so when you encounter something that is upsetting, what you offer is presence.
By being that.
By being.
And that's present. The trigger. The is the trigger to, oh yeah. So really we have to have something, like I choose unconditional love, or I choose presence, or whatever, to have that something, that mm-hmm. go-to.
That you're practicing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the point of it is, the thing that really set me off is that people assume that they're upset means that they're a bad person. Uh-huh. Because it usually takes the form of anger or frustration or judgment or that sort of thing. And they don't see that, they don't see the deep caring underneath that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's what's not being accessed.
Yeah.
So to access that, to feel that deep caring, mm-hmm. and maybe the sadness that goes with it, or the disappointment, or whatever it is that goes with it, and you take that energy and you turn it into the gift that you want to give to the world.
Yes, and okay, so two things. One is that deep access, correct me if I'm wrong, but this sounds like exactly what you were pointing at in the essay, Project for Saving the World, that if we can't blame someone or ask anyone for help, we have to go deeper and access something else.
Yes.
So there's that. And then the other thing that was occurring in light of what Penny was talking about in terms of just waiting is that it's a process that we're going to. So what I project, and I would normally have gone to, is some sort of an action, even if it's a proactive, good action. It's an action. Whereas if I'm just wanting to be presence in the world, that's a process. So I can be terribly upset about what's going on in somewhere. I don't even know what's going on.
I'm sure there's something upsetting going on somewhere in the world.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yes, probably Texas.
Well, they are a big contributor. They are doing their part.
They always do. They always do. So there's that. But I'm here in the kitchen cleaning the kitchen. So I get, whenever I get triggered, it makes no difference the what. It's only the how. I can practice presence while I'm cleaning the kitchen, and it's just as potent as if I'm addressing it, whatever, you know,
yes.
on a content level.
Yes, a person could be present and decide what they want to do make a pot of soup and take it to a homeless shelter, or mm-hmm. they could, whatever it is that they chose to do, from a place of presence.
Yeah. But my question is, there seems to be a belief, or at least a past belief, I can't really say I hold it that much anymore, but it seems pervasive in the world, I project, that it has to match content for content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, because it say what you want for the world is respect or kindness. You wish people respected one another, or people were kind, or people cared about whatever it is. So then that's what you turn that energy into, is whatever that is you want to give. Instead of the what you encountered taking energy away from you, turning it into a negative state, and that's what you're giving to the world, then that's your trigger, that's your reminder of what's important to you.
Yeah.
So every time you meet something that is upsetting to you, that reminds you to choose something you might not have been thinking about choosing before.
Yeah, yeah. And then in that space, who knows what life would drop in?
Anything's possible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But imagine an entire vast army of people all choosing whatever form of love, goodness, whatever that is, to give their attention to.
Wow. And the level of presence and process that would embody in the human race, oh my God. I'm on board.
I think we need to do it.
Yeah, me too.
Andrew.
Thank you. was going to circle back to this thing on choice.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of cool with it recently, looking at some stuff where I could do it one day at a time, and then that wasn't cutting it. And I saw, okay, we got to get a little tighter in 1 hour at a time, and then that wasn't really cutting it. And it, as you said earlier, it's a moment to moment thing. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit the Catholics would call it rigorous. It's just not going anywhere. And as you just pointed out, the opportunity is to do something other than lament that. Mm-hmm. And just kind of go, oh, that's what makes me alive. Mm-hmm. Oh, I have the strength to do that. Mm-hmm. Oh, instead of, oh my God, please, do we get any relief? I could go that way, or it's the other way.
That's right. And one takes your strength, and one builds the strength.
And it's for a long time it was I'm choosing to go do this, and I don't know. I think there is a choice there. There's definitely an intention. Mm-hmm. But at some point after doing it moment by moment by moment, there's no me involved. The me is out of the. That's what makes it so. Easy or great or whatever, it isn't the lament. The lament is when I've got to do it.
That's right. That's right.
That's how.
And that's the point. The lament is to create and maintain the me.
Ah, okay.
So when the choice is basically let go or embrace or it, moment by moment by moment, there's no room for me. And so there's energy and there's strength.
It's all mentor and all that stuff. So that is really kind of, that is it. There's not a, for a long, 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 long time, I thought it was, you do that for like a stretch, and you're not going to do it moment by moment because that's impossible. And then after you've accumulated enough time, then it will happen and it'll be easy. And that's just the scam that's the never, because that makes sure that you never get to that spot.
Exactly.
It's when you get to the spot of dying to self.
Yes. Yes.
And it's like skipped him a loo, but I'm going, geez, this is how fast it is. It's not like a long, long time. It's right now.
It's right now. It's exactly. Right now. And that talk about some information that we're not supposed to get. Right? Because it's going to be, somebody just said that, to me, I can't remember what they were even talking about, it doesn't matter, but they said, boy, and it's going to take me a long time to get that, and, well, probably, if that's the conversation you're going to be in, because it's like that, and the only thing that keeps people from getting that is, oh, it's going to take a long time, it's really hard, and if I keep plugging away, then one of these days it'll never happen. And he goes over there going, it's never going to happen. Me.
And it's just a, I didn't know it was going to unfold this way, but that's how it is.
Yeah.
And that's just how it is.
Yeah.
And looking at my kids running around, and it seems like they've kind of already caught on to that. Just they didn't do a lot of the stuff that I was doing when I was 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, they are not doing that. And so something else is able to happen. I project that they're awakening, or that consciousness is changing, or, you know, whatever they were. It's easier.
It'll be interesting to see.
There's less in the way, maybe.
It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. And as an aside,
you might have looked like that at that age, too.
As an aside, I heard this interview earlier today by the former CEO of NPR, who was a lifelong one side of the political spectrum, and he had this little awakening at a block party where they said the other side of the spectrum is never allowed here. And he said, I don't know about that. So he wrote a book, and he went wandering all the way through the U.S., spent some time in Texas and churches and some other stuff. And he was, now he's kind of, he's not... He's not the way that he was, And he's for the people on that side of the aisle, he's kind of a credible source as having an NPR pedigree behind him. But he talked about that middle way. And I was kind of, it kind of took what it took for him to go, wait a second, I'm not going to buy into all these stories anymore. Mm-hmm. That's just an aside. I do like this idea of choice, and it's just it's not a super habit thing, but boy, does it work. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to practicing it some more.
Yes, yes. And once we realize that it is that, you know, if you're not having fun, invite the mentor in. We do want to practice it more.
Yeah.
Because the, nobody wants to practice that. That's just, how do I get unconscious, completely unconscious, as soon as possible? Because that's a misery. But that I can be present, I can be here, I can be enjoying life right now. Yeah, I want to do that.
Yeah. How much time we got? Yeah. I had another aside.
Oh, yeah. Time?
Earlier this year, I read your book where you kind of shared a lot more personal story stuff of trauma. And I cleaned up a bunch of trauma. And you can really clean up a lot of trauma just facing a blank wall.
Yes.
And I did not know, and I mean, I'd worked at it and cleaned it up, and like, wow, that's a body of work, let me tell you. And I did it pretty, you know, truncated amount of time. And it was still made up. I mean, it happened to me, but it was made up. And you can face it all down just by facing a blank wall, because that's where it is. I mean, that's where it happened anyway.
Yes.
And it's a very similar thing about choosing to end suffering moment by moment with whatever piece of content you're looking at.
Yes.
It's that same, we're not going to go ahead and just lament it. We're going to actually go ahead and do it.
Yes.
It's clean up anything.
One of the things that I've heard myself talking about recently that, again, it's one of those where I can kind of hear the from people when I do. It is this, you know, we got to get over memory. We just got to let it go. You know, first of all, for all of us here, anything that we remember about our lives, we were not there for. It actually didn't happen to us. It happened to somebody else who got abandoned as we went on to survive and do the, you know, and then we carry these stories as if they happened to us, and it's such an effective way of just leaving behind the people that it actually did happen to. Mm-hmm. And so there's really not much sense in the whole process. And for me, the main advantage of memory is that it just feeds the ego. It's our excuse for all of the things that we do and the way that we are. And without that, if we really are here, right, then all of that stuff is irrelevant. It could be any story about anybody that anything happened to, and who cares? You know, if we're actually right here, right now, and we are in that place of, without me, everything that is required is here and available to me, much easier. Yeah. It's not popular, though. It's really not popular. That's one. Conscious Compassionate Action Network movement, maybe. Dropping all our memories.
Gets easier as we get older.
Yeah. Then people get into this. Geez, I can't remember. But they're not happy about it. That's the problem.